Frank Longo asked me this one. If I peel a banana skin and it goes one skin, two skin, three skin, what's next? I won't hold you down. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Roundtable Podcast, hosted by Bujan Goaltending. I am your host, Jamie Phillips, with my two co-hosts, and one of them is a guest co-host, Travcore Oilers. How's it going?
Doing good, buddy. How are you doing?
Good, Buj. I'm glad to see you're alive and awake after On Ice is going full steam ahead and you're running 12-hour lessons a day.
12 hours straight of grinding, absolute grind. 4 days a week. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that is brutal. But so,
but
today,
it's better than doing nothing. It's either that or we sit at home and do nothing and complain like we have for the last 4 months. So anything is better than that. So I'll take the 12-hour shifts because at least I'm on the ice working with kids and, you know what, getting better and making sure they get better and getting ready for the season, because I don't care what anybody says and everybody's talking about, is there going to be a year? There's going to be a hockey season, and my guys, I'm going to make sure my guys are prepared for that.
Do you think it's going to start right away, or do you think they're going to get pushed back? So I know a lot of European leagues and even like the obviously the NHL, AHL, East Coast, they're thinking about maybe even having a January start. What do you think is going to happen with minor hockey?
Well, minor hockey is different. So anything in Canada that's run by Hockey Canada, Hockey Canada is too powerful of an entity, and it's brings in too much revenue for the country in terms of income in our economy. So, yeah, it's going to start. It's not going to start like right after Labor Day like it usually has in the past. I can see it getting pushed back. Maybe first day, what I'm hearing is first day on the ice is going to be Labor Day. So you can see a season starting maybe beginning of October. So maybe a month back. But it's going to look different. Like, it's not going to be – your parents aren't going to be watching play games this year. Or maybe one parent will be watching. But it'll be a lot of live stream. Be a lot of show up to the ring dressed. Minimum coaches on the bench. It'll look different. But there's way too much power and influence through Hockey Canada for them to say there's not going to be a hockey season. And we have to think of in terms of mental health of the kids. And the kids playing hockey, it's such a kind of widespread idea now about mental health and keeping kids and talking about mental health that there could be a epidemic of mental health if we cancel the hockey season. So I just don't see it happening. So everybody out there who's listening to this, you guys better be prepared because there's going to be a season.
They're really going to have to work on that live stream quality because nothing's worse than just whatever they've been using in the past is just the grainy, slow. It's like your Wi-Fi. It's just not good.
What do you want me to do? Like, it's wires. Like,
no, but I mean, like, remember when we watched, what was it, two years ago, where we were watching one of our guys play Junior B, and we couldn't even watch the stream. It's so bad. Like, they're really gonna have to upgrade their live stream capabilities if they're going to limit them down to the people or parents that can watch the minor hockey games.
Yeah, and if you watch hockey TV, like you watch a game from BCHL or the Alberta League, and then compare it to the OJ in Ontario, the Junior A League in Ontario, in just terms of quality of stream, like it's night and day. Like the Ontario Junior Leagues need to get their stuff in order here, because if I'm a scout and I can't get to a game because I can't cross the border this year, because that's a major possibility. So how do you scout a kid in Ontario if your school's in New York and you can't cross the border? That hockey TV stream is just trash in some of these leagues. So it's time for them to step up and, you know what, invest in a camera. And if anybody needs some camera advice, we got the guy right here who can give them the advice. Insta360s, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, as long as we got a commentator, is that the same guy doing my UVic game?
Well, in his defense, you do have a tough last name.
He should have just fucking won and just kept rolling. And even if it was wrong, everybody screws it up no matter what. But he just kept hitting the dead horse. He must have tried like seven different variations. None of them were right.
He should have just called you Trav. Like, you can't screw Trav up.
He could have called me that. He could have gone with goaltender, goalie, tender, tendy. Nope, that's the hard road.
Yeah.
They should just set up like a drive-in movie theater format. Like you drop your kid off, you park in the parking lot, whatever. Like if you're at a multiplex or rinks, you park at like rink A. That's what games you're like your rinks your kids on. And then it's just like a drive-in movie theater. The kid's playing on the screen. You just watch from the car, pick them up when it's done.
Could you imagine they have like idea. They have a screen and they're selling beers and parents, minor hockey parents, are watching minor hockey games, drinking beers and watching this on the screen. That would be meddlem. There'd be riots in the parking lot. And parents fighting.
Oh man,
it'd be cuckoo bananas.
Minor hockey parents can't even get along as it is now. If you throw in alcohol and they're just in their car, it would just be a mess.
And half of them are telling each other, "Hey, I'll meet you in the park. Yeah, let's go square up in the parking lot." They're in the parking lot. They're a square up right there.
It'd be like that scene from Never Back Down where they park the cars in the octagon and they just tee up on each other.
That's a low-key top 10 movie, though.
Oh, that movie is unbelievable. That probably one of the best soundtracks in movie history.
Oh, yeah, Dynamite. That and Guardians of the Galaxy. Soundtrack, A+.
Yeah, just ask Alex Murray. He'll let you know.
Yeah. All right, so we threw out a Q&A here. So we asked you guys for some questions. We got some questions here we're going to attack. As much as Trav thinks it's all about him, it's not. It's all about you guys. So I got the questions here. So we'll go through some of these, and we'll get some hot debates going and see if we can't get you two yelling at each other, and I'll be the peacekeeper.
Okay.
So Shaw_31_ asks, and I think this one's a layup. We'll start with a layup. What is your favorite brand of pad?
Well, mine is Bauer, obviously, and Bauer treated me very well. They also make the best pad, in my opinion. I'm also not a sponsored athlete, so I don't have any monetary requirements, unlike someone else I know.
What's that hat say? They don't have lights in Winnipeg, so it's too dark. Lafarge?
Lafave?
So you're recently a convert or convert. You've recently converted Warrior into a Lefebvre guy. So go. Let's hear your spiel on the Lefebvre line.
You know, it's different, and I think it's different in a good way. It's nice the first time having equipment that was made in Canada. We're at a time right now where I think we got to be supporting the economy, local businesses, and being able to support a company that I can say it was made in the country I'm living in. Doesn't have to come from China. Doesn't have horseshit from overseas. Where it's on an assembly line and somebody's getting paid 2 grams of rice to make the equipment. The person that made this hat and that made my equipment was paid a real wage. They were a real person that supports a real family, has a real income, and they're not treated like dog shit. That's a big thing for me. The equipment, though, second to none as far as quality. The second I put the equipment on, glove, blocker, pad, didn't matter, or any of the other gloves that I've gotten since then. I knew right away the second that I touched it, this was made by hand in Canada. This is a product that was made with care. It was made with passion. Top to bottom, from the stitching to the lacing to the design, R&D, everything was made with care. And the performance shows. It's a product that weighs 4.7 pounds, super lightweight. The fast rotation, that's a mouthful there. Fast rotation system, I say now with a retainer in, is absolutely game changing. And I think anybody that is going to be stupid enough to stick in CCM and think that the old Chinese made horse shit is good, when you could be converting over to basically the Canadian-made version of what CCM was that you couldn't get unless you're playing real hockey and you're a real pro, Jamie, you would know that, you're an absolute goofball. Like, you should be wearing Pastel if you're going to be passing up Lefebvre equipment. Made in Canada, quality made, basically the CCM stuff that everybody's been ranting about for years. Mic drop.
Why are you yelling?
I'm very passionate about this.
That was a pretty good sales pitch. I mean, I don't blame you. Like, I always preferred the Made in Canada whenever given the choice, especially when CCM or Reebok started to when they kept their pro gear Made in Canada and then they put their stock in China or wherever, somewhere in Asia. There was a big discrepancy between the quality. But I know that, like, Bauer is made in Taiwan, all their stuff from pro down to stock. And I never had an issue with quality. So there is a standard that all their equipment, pro and otherwise, they need to meet that in terms of material and manufacturing. And whether that, for me, whether that standard was made in Asia or whether that standard was made in Canada, as long as it met the standard, I didn't really have an issue with it because I didn't have any problem with Bauer. But I mean, I like a completely different pad than what Lefebvre offers, so it's hard for me to compare. Because if I continued to play, I wouldn't have worn a Lefebvre pad. So,
well, you switched out of CCM and went to Bauer based off customer service.
Yeah,
so CCM where CCM lacked was.
Well, and my CCM started to get soft, and my CCMs absorbed moisture when playing in the humidity of the south.
Yeah, so that different climate was a big thing, but yeah. Bauer's customer service is unbelievable. So
yeah,
if Lefebvre can improve on the CCM customer service, I think the market is there for them to kind of jump in and become top two brand fairly quickly. And I think when the NHL does come back, you're going to see a lot of those guys wearing the Lefebvre stuff. And I think it's going to grow exponentially. So
well,
if they
I'm
make a good product.
For you right here. I'm going to break news for you right here, okay?
Oh, before here we go.
Before you see all the goalie gear dorks of the world posting comments about this guy was seen wearing a different style bootstrap. Okay, listen here, folks. When I was at the Lefebvre factory, I got to see all the orders that were in place. And I was at the factory right before the shutdown before the pandemic. Pecorine, David Rittich, Varlamov, Leonard, Subban, Fleury, all these guys, Anderson. Lefebvre is going to be taking over the hockey industry in the next couple of years if they keep doing what they're doing right now. They're doing a great job. The customer service is great. It's a personal mom-and-pop style field. There is no corporate field, and there's this big corporation filter thing like before with CCM. The only problem they're going to run into, and I do foresee this happening, is they're too small of a company in a factory that you can only produce about 10 to 15 sets a week, give or take. So at that rate, it's hard to expand unless you're adding more employees, you're adding more warehouse space, more materials. That's the only problem I think they're going to run into.
I was just just about to ask that. I was going to say, I think they will continue to grow as long as they can keep up with the demand, as well as like what I liked about a big company like Bauer is if something went wrong with my gear, I just text the rep or my trainer would text the rep and say, hey, you know, this happened. And I'd have a fresh set the next day. Might not be, you know, it might have been a stock set, but it was there next day, no problem. For a company that's only producing X amount of gear a week, and that X is a lot smaller variable than another company's amount that they're producing a week, plus the mom and pop has to keep up with not only pro orders, which get always, pro orders always get priority. And then you have major junior college orders, which then are tier two. And then you have your just general population orders. Like, will they become overwhelmed where if Pecorine's gear splits in half because a skate hits it, they're going to be doing whatever it takes to get him another set before another kid gets his gear. And then things like that kind of just push the general pop lower and lower on the demand list. I could see where people might get upset where gear gets delayed, but I don't know. Those are a lot of speculations, a lot of what ifs, but that would be the only thing in terms of customer service might be lacking a little bit.
All right. Segue into the next question. We could talk all day about gear. 31, The Wall asks, do you think goalies will be mentally prepared enough for the return of play in the NHL? And I thought this was a good question.
That's a good question.
And here's why. Because I am a lifetime Maple Leaf fan. And when the NHL returns and we go right into playoffs, I am a little more than worried about Frederik Andersen based off of the history of his performances in October when we're early in the year. So basically they've been off for what's going to equate to an off season. So when they come back, I think we're going to see some major upsets, and the teams that are kind of favored in these playoff rounds and playoff matchups are going to, like, we're going to see some big upsets, and this is going to be maybe the most exciting playoff run in the history of the NHL. What do you guys think about that?
I couldn't agree more. You got guys sitting at home, basically in a mental pretzel because you know how to do anything. They've already put up a statement saying, hey, don't go to any public facilities. Don't go anywhere here. Don't go anywhere there. Stay at home. Don't be seen. Don't make an issue. These guys are just sitting couches. Oh, sorry. I'm allowed to swear.
Well, you can swear. I got to edit it out. So thanks for making more work for me.
Sorry. These guys have been sitting on their couches doing minimal things. Yeah, you know, you have weight rooms at home, you have team workout programs. It's not on the ice. Like, I'm not on the ice. I feel like when I got on the ice with you, I felt a lot different. I felt like a little bit looser of a cannon out there because I haven't been on the ice in a while. I'm sure these guys feel the same way. So when you got hot, fresh Carey Price and the Pittsburgh Penguins and Sidney Crosby, and then we've been sitting on their rear ends for a couple months, I wouldn't be shocked if Montreal takes that in three straight.
Yeah, I'm not. I agree with you.
I think you would be naive to say that guys haven't been skating because guys have been skating. Whether it's renting ice under the table somewhere, or they went to a different country to skate that's more open, or a different state that has different regulations. Guys have been skating. I wouldn't worry about guys' physical preparation because it takes like a normal training camp time. Yeah, you skate all summer, but the training camp, like NHL training camp and your normal off season are apples and oranges. They're completely different. One prepares you for the off season, prepares you for training camp. Your training camp prepares you for the season. So if these teams are having a training camp, that's going to get them back in the swing of things. But I think in terms of the original question, I am concerned about the mental game of the goalies. I'm not concerned about the physical games because those guys are so good that a couple practices, a couple exhibition games, they're feeling it. But to have the unknown of the offseason, whether you didn't know if you were starting again, you didn't know if you could treat it like a real offseason where, hey, like with training camp starts September this, I know I can relax my brain till now and then I can prepare and have this, you know, segmented offseason. There's so many unknowns that I think for some goalies that might not have like have set up the proper tools to prepare them for this situation, they might struggle with consistency. Whereas if there's been a goalie or the goalies team that work with maybe their team sports psych or ones that were optimistic and like, hey, we're going to prepare. I'm going to do like basically do the mental reps with the physical reps to be ready to play. Whoever those goalies are will find consistency the most and find it right from the drop of the puck. And that's because it's so short and there's really no room for error. Whoever those goalies are will be the ones that dominate.
So who's the pick? Who are we picking? And it ain't the Winnipeg Jets, Trav. So who's going to win the cup?
I think it's going to be a middle of the pack. Boston or a middle of the pack team. Boston has two starters. Like if one does That's not true. Play well, they have another who is just as good.
Like, well, so at least Jack Campbell had a pretty good year behind Anderson. So
I can't take the Leafs just because they have all the pieces there. They just have yet to put it all together.
Okay, here's my dark horse pick, and it's not really that dark horse pick. Edmonton Oilers, and this is why, because if you look at the history of Mike Smith coming out of the gate, he is always the first month of his seasons are always dynamite, and then he tails off once he hits like November into December. But Mike Smith coming out of the gate, hot. I'm going out on a limb.
He's a playoff guy.
He also, like, yeah, I could see for him where if he's someone that's so like competitive. Oops, sorry. Someone who's so competitive.
Take your pills.
No, that's actually for my bread. Someone who's so competitive, like if he comes out all out. Like his mental, how can I say this? He's so dialed right from the beginning that he exhausts himself during an 82-game season. During the short season, if he's all out for only a month and a half, 2 months, you might be right. He might be the stud of the playoffs.
Called it here, boys, right here. When it happens, you guys can all be like.
I do think Boston's going to win the East, though. they're so good.
Pretty good team. Yeah, they're pretty good. And they're old, so like this break is probably going to help them.
Oh, probably good. It's probably unbelievable for them. All right, what's the next one?
All right, next one. This one I have zero. I can't answer this because I've never worn them. Are the true two-piece skates worth the money? And this comes from PruleXZ, I screwed that up, _ 31. Pruley 31.
Can I start us off with? Because I feel like Jamie's got a lot of positive things to say.
All right, you fire it up, Trav. Go.
You might as well be better off to go to the bank, take out the money they'd be using to spend on these skates, and just put it in the toilet and flush it. That would be a better use of your time and your money than actually ordering the skates. Jamie, your turn.
I would like to hear your why, but it's hard for me to compare. Well, from I'll give you my opinion, I think that the true skates, I've worn them for the past 7 years, are the best skates I've ever worn. And I've worn Bauer, I've worn Reebok, I wore CCM. Like, I wore the true, I better. I also wore the true one piece. And I personally prefer the true piece because they're easier to repair if something goes wrong. Now, I also was fortunate enough that I would get one or two pairs of skates a season. So I didn't really have to deal with anything like they break down. And I know Trav is basically wearing paper bags on his feet because he's worn them for 4 years. Like, that's a long time to wear one set of skates. So I have never had that. So I can't compare it. I'd like to hear why Trav is so opinionated on why these skates are so bad.
Yeah, first off, I'm going to tell you right now, I probably have the strongest ankles in all Western Canada right now. How much bend is going on those skates and the lack of support in my RVH. Reason being, I found that the skates that I have, my VHs, I had those for 2.5 years, and then I got into my two pieces. And I had no issues with the original true skates or the VH ones that I got compared to the two pieces. And the big issues that I have with the two pieces were plastics would break, rivets would come out, plastics would crack, things just weren't working, but they weren't as advertised. And when there was a problem that would come up, I get excuses of, oh, well, try this, try that. Well, that doesn't freaking work. You know, remold the skate. You can only remold it so many times before the skates are done. Okay, try a second skate. I'll give it a second shot. Same thing. Exact same issues. I don't feel comfortable in the skate. They're, like, my feet are hurting because I have plastics digging in. I have rivets coming out. All these different problems. And then I just said, listen, I'm going back to my old VH skates. I'm selling these two pieces. I've had nothing but problems with them. And I think the biggest problem that I have with True on top of it, if they were a great company with great customer service and great goals and a great mission and like a whole vision of their company, I would stick with them. Especially their Winnipeg company. They're 10 minutes away from where I am right now. The problem that I found in dealing with them through doing stick reviews for them, doing skate reviews, all they care about is a review. Trav, when are you going to make the next post talking about how great the stick is? When are you going to make the next post about talking about how awesome the skates are? When are you going to do this? When are you going to do that? When are we going to fix the issues that I'm having with these products? You just gave me three A6.0 sticks that all lasted 3 weeks. They broke within 3 weeks, the exact same spot. I tell you the problem. I tell you how to fix it. I tell you what you need to do moving forward. And all I get back is, when are you going to post about it next? When are you going to tell people how awesome the stick is? This company is not focused on problem solving anymore. They're not focused on making a product that's going to help people better your game and give you something to look forward to and get excited about. They want your money. They get your money. See you later. I don't care about you anymore. Your money's in my pocket. You bought the stick. Your warranty's expired. See ya. I don't like that. I will not support that.
It sounds like you have a little bit of intrinsic bias towards the company over the skates. But I actually do have a serious question. When you got your true skates, did you immediately put in your Bauer cowlings?
Which one? Like the VH boot?
Yeah.
I never know.
Yeah.
Yeah, day one is always going to do.
Is it possible that because you're using a foreign cowling and you're also playing around with the riveting, that it kind of messed up the structural integrity of the skate?
No, he didn't put the Bauer cowling on the two-piece.
The two pieces literally came with my Bauer Vertex holder and the blades that I got. And it was that from day one. They gave me a new skate. They put the same holder on and everything. So I've gone through 5 or 6 cowlings in my VH skates, although they're like diaper bags right now. Haven't had issues with them yet. And the two pieces I had more issues with and having them for 6 months than I have for 4 years of these VH skates, which is why I was like, you know, I got an option here. I got to buy new skates. What am I doing? Am I going to buy Trues and hope for something to work, or am I going to buy Bauer's? And I said, well, I wore Bauer skates my entire life up to this. I hear Bauer makes a good product. They got a good warranty program. I'll buy Bauer's, see what happens. I'm spending a crazy amount of money no matter what.
The true skate that you didn't like, was this the first year or the first model that came out after they, like, absorbed VH?
I believe it would have been the second model.
the second model. I was going to say, I had some guys that had problems with the first model. Once the true kind of absorbed VH, that first kind of line that came out. But since then, I've heard nothing but good things. So, but I've never worn the skate, so I cannot add on.
I guess it's tough because if you have like sometimes no matter what brand you're using, you're going to get 11. And it might just be that Trav, you got some 11s and that sucks. And it might not be. But in terms of how they feel, personally, I think they feel unbelievable. They feel like they feel the way like grass used to feel. When you got a pair of grass, I mean, you're walking around with cement shoes on, but boy, were they comfy cement bricks. Like, that's for sure. But these true obviously are not even close to as heavy, but they feel like they are comfy. But
true. I mean, if anybody's listening at your corporate offices, I'm open to second chances. You know where to find me. You know how to get a hold of me. I rest my case.
We're probably going to have to cut that whole rant out just in case True ever wanted to sponsor the pod. We can't leave that in.
Hey, we're here to talk honestly to the 7 or 8 people that listen to us. 3 of them are family members. Sea Shrimp 1 asks,
Shrimpy, boy.
What? Do you know this guy?
Yeah, he hits me up all the time. Nice kid.
Oh, all right. Sea Shrimp 1. I chose to play in the VIJHL, which is the Victoria Junior B Hockey League, from what I understand. Vancouver Island Junior Hockey League, over Major Midget AAA as a third-year midget. What are your thoughts? I think I think the reason we play minor hockey is to move up into junior hockey. So I think that's a good move. I don't know why that wouldn't be a good move, unless there's something I'm missing.
Third year midget would be how old?
17.
So he would be 2003 birth year.
So he's 17.
17.
I mean, as long as you're playing in junior B, I think. Like, if you're going to junior B to play 3 games, that might, maybe playing, just being a starter in midget AAA would be a better choice. But if you're going to go play and compete in junior B, I mean, that's a no-brainer. Your goal is to continue to move up the ladder. And the next step from minor hockey is obviously junior hockey. And the VI and, well, the junior B leagues in BC are very good. So if you can play well there, you have an opportunity to move up to the BCHL or junior A. And I think that's really a no-brainer.
Well, as long as you're not playing junior B in Manitoba, you're probably on a good path. Definitely want to go to the KJ or the CRJ or whatever they're calling it now. But it's a good move. BC Junior B is good. I've ranted about it in videos before. It's great leagues.
Best junior B hockey is in Ontario. It's the GOJHL. So let's get that straight first, Trav.
I haven't seen a game. I can't say. All I've seen Western Canada Junior B, top to bottom. I haven't seen Ontario Junior B, so I can't really say. It's not fair.
Well, it's the best. But having said that, in terms of like the path, right, for my goalies, I prefer you play your minor midget triple A year. Whether or not you get drafted will kind of dictate what happens after that. But I prefer a single year midget triple A. And then as a 17-year-old, so the same as Shrimp is saying, is I like to have my guys move into junior B at 17 years old. So that's the path. You're following the path that I would set up for my guys in a best-case scenario. But it doesn't really matter. When you're 17 years old, if you're playing junior B or playing midget AAA and playing and having success and getting better, it doesn't matter because nobody at 17 years old as a goalie in Canada is going to get a scholarship offer. You might have some initial talks, but you know, they want guys that are 19, 20 years old. So you're still 2 years away from being a serious kind of recruit for a Division I program. So take your time, man. Get better. Keep getting better. Keep learning, right? Get your minutes. Take your lumps. Grow as a person and mature. And when you're 19, 20 years old, take all those things that you've learned from whatever league you're playing and apply them and then have success. And then, you know what? All those teams are going to start calling you. All right.
Yeah.
Anything to add to that, or
no? I mean, that's a pretty obvious answer.
Can we talk about that couch background there you got going on there? That's colorful.
Yeah, we talked about this about 20 episodes ago. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching the pod.
Yeah, thanks for being a fan, Trav. Come on,
busy guy.
All right, Trav. This one's for you because I could have hit on this one earlier because you were so fired up, but. Sorry. What about the Lefebvre gear so far? Do you believe needs a little bit of improvement or tweaking?
We've made some improvements. I think the graphic could definitely be better. I think honestly, I picked the best choice that you could have done with the graphic. With that being said, it's still not a good graphic, so that could be improved. I think the gloves, or not so much the blocker. I think the blocker's got a lot of improvements in the CCM, or the Primo 2, or the Eflex 4. But I think the gloves themselves need to be changed up a bit. I think that 580 and 590 cup is so thick. It's huge. It's like a grandpa burger in A&W. That thing is massive. You know, so like skin down that cuff a bit, make them a little bit lighter. I think the tees too got to be skinnier. Like literally, the tee is probably like this big. It's huge. Skin that tee down, make things lighter. Skin the cuff down. I think pad wise, I'm not having many issues so far. I mean, maybe I have a stiffer option. I didn't see that was a 20.1 option, but I think that's a good one. I think custom graphics would be nice too. But honestly, like the biggest problem I'm having right now is trying to like nitpick problems with like Lefebvre gear. Like I'm having like, I don't like this lacing. I don't like this stitching. I don't like all these like, little details. Because there's very minimal things on there that I don't like. And I'm not saying it because, you know, I'm working with Lefebvre. I'm saying it because they're making a great product. It's a very hard product to complain about. And I'm probably going to grill when I put up a real review about it, being like, this isn't a review. You didn't shit on the product. Well, there's nothing to shit on for. Very, very few things, to be honest.
Well, one thing I'll say, and because I've seen them when you skate with me for 8 or 9 skates, is the one thing that I like the Bauer over the Lefebvre is the blocker. That ultrasonic blocker, the way the puck comes off that blocker, it explodes. And
I'm like, starting to wonder if anybody can even touch the ultrasonic or the vapor blocker. Because I've tried the vapor blocker like on ice, haven't tried the ultrasonic, but there's nothing out there like V9, CCM, Lefebvre. Nobody, especially Warrior, nobody seems to even be able to touch the Bauer blockers. Like just the pop and the hotness coming off that board. And how thin it is, razor thin too. So I think Bauer will forever and ever have probably the best blocker in the market, no doubt about it, as far as the rebounds go.
Yeah, and like kind of everybody's like, blocker's a blocker. That's not a thing anymore because that ultrasonic blocker, and I put in 3 or 4 custom orders for like pro level gear, and every single guy has gone with an ultrasonic blocker, whether they went with SLR2 pads or Bauer ultrasonic pads, or the Lefebvre line, every single guy has gone and bought ultrasonic blocker. So that's the only thing from what I've seen in the limited skates in the Lefebvre line that I say could be improved. But like you said, Bauer's the only ones. They're ahead of the curve on everybody in terms of development of that blocker.
I would agree. I don't know if anybody can touch that in the near future. Like maybe it's a thing where people are a couple of years away from even touching that kind of technology. And then by then, Bauer's just off of the races. So Bauer, great job on the blocker. Keep up the good work.
I didn't wear the pads, so I can't add anything, except I think I agree that, honestly, all their graphics are pretty bad.
Brutal graphics. The other thing that's not bad is retro.
But the thing is, I don't like retro.
Retro's bad, Trav. It's bad.
But I didn't like retro when they had CCM Retro Flex. I hated that graphic, too, so...
I hate the vertical, like that, those vertical stitch lines.
Yeah.
You don't like that?
No. I mean, if I wanted pads from the 80s, I'd buy pads from the 80s and not use them.
Sometimes it's just a nostalgia thing. Let's relive my childhood, okay?
Really, that's about it for usable questions.
Oh, what did you think of Francois Allaire's camp? That's a question. Those are for me, so I'm not going to answer those.
Did you ever skate with Francois Allaire, Trav?
Nope.
No? Would
love to.
Is he still doing stuff or is he retired? What's going on with him?
I think he does stuff in Switzerland every summer, but I think that's it. I haven't heard. He sold his, like, he used to run, like, Cojon Hockey School out of Boisbriand. And last I heard, he sold that a few years ago, but I have no idea. He's good. Like, he's the godfather of, like, he's the godfather of goalie. But he was so strict. He was so strict and rigid. He was either you did it this way or you didn't do it at all and you got off the ice. So that's, you know, that's an issue because it's not, you know, goaltending isn't black and white. So.
Game was different, though, when he was coaching it. When he was at, like, his prime and developing, like, top end and that Quebec was a goalie factory, right? Like,
yeah.
Different game, different equipment, different technology in the players' equipment. But he, like, in terms of, on my end, in terms of goalie coaching becoming relevant, he is the godfather, and he's the guy that pushed that position. And I think, I don't quote me, I'm not 100% sure on this, but I think I'm fairly certain. I think he's the first goalie coach to ever have a $1 million contract in the NHL.
I think that's true. With Toronto, right? Or with Colorado?
I think so.
Yeah.
When, I think with Toronto.
Keeks got fired and took over Keeks' job.
Did he?
Yeah, yeah, Keeks got fired and they brought in Francois Lair right after that, I believe.
That was for,
hey,
was that
all
for
hired
Bernier?
To get fired eventually. What? No, that would have been for Jaguar. When they brought J.S. Jaguar in.
Yeah, because.
Oh, I forgot Jaguar went to Toronto.
Tompkins and Jaguar. And I remember because Burkey fired, or was it, yeah, Burke fired Steve and the rest of the staff, I think. Or was it Fletcher? Somebody fired Steve. And then Steve was gone. Francois Lair came in. Jaguar came in. Reimer came up. And boom. Toronto Maple Leafs of the 2010s. I'm going to tell a little funny story here. Sharks, Vegas. Game 7 last year. I was watching the game. Gets out of hand. Was it 3-0 or was it 4-0? It was 3-0, wasn't it?
I think it was 4-0.
Okay, 4-0. It's around the 11-minute mark, right before they call that penalty. And I said, you know what? Game's over. Series is done. I'm going to make some muffins. I'm going to go make some blueberry muffins I've been trying to make all week. Shut the laptop lid to the same laptop I'm on. Make my muffin batter, throw it in the oven. I was like, I gotta wait like 15 minutes to turn the thing back on. Open up the screen, 5-4 Sharks. I'm like, what is going on here? I gotta make more muffins. And boom. So whoa. I'm not gonna take credit, but my magical blueberry muffins, I think, cued the Shark comeback.
I think it was a bad call by the refs, but it could have been the muffins.
I think it was bad goaltending by Marc-Andre Fleury also.
Shut the lid, made the muffins, put them in the oven, came back, Sharks were winning. I couldn't believe what I was like, hold on, I had to shut the lid? No, it's not a glitch. This is the actual score.
I remember watching that Leaf game because for some reason, I have a ton of clients that are big Bruin fans. And the Leafs score to go up 4-1 with 11 minutes left. And I start firing off the texts, like just premature. And it's just ripping on all these guys. And sure enough, when they scored, it's just my phone. I had to shut my phone off. My phone just exploded. I turn it on the next day, and it's like 17 missed text messages, like 18 missed phone calls. And I'm just like, I cannot look at this. Like, I'm not opening this phone. Just a nightmare. A nightmare of a night.
I did put out a tweet, which was taken down after. 4-1 Leafs. Put out a tweet. Remember when everybody wanted Boston to win? They thought the Leafs were going to choke? Told yourself. I told you James Grimes was going to lead him back to a comeback and take it in the second round, right? James Grimes is going to lead us into New York and into the conference final. Well, did I ever hear from Twitter after that overtime goal? I remember watching it. The goal went in. No! And then, boom, my Twitter lit up right away, and I deleted the tweet. I don't have to deal with it anymore.
Just running away from your problems.
Yep.
Just bury your head in the sand.
I actually, there is a kind of a serious question. Gyms are finally open, but I've lost major strength. Advice on how to get it back safely.
Yeah, back in the gym.
Yeah,
back
I guess.
It'll come back quicker than you think.
Like, I found, because like working out in your gym was the first time I touched weights in like 3 months, and I've been hitting weights consistently again since then. But I found the strength has come back at a shocking rate. Like, I thought, like, 3 months off, like, oh, boy, it's going to be a long road. Because, like, I think I was squatting 285 right before the pandemic, give or take. And, like,
that's not good, Trav, by the way. That's bad. But keep going.
I know. I'm just putting this out there. This is what I was squatting. And you saw me when I was in the gym. I don't think I even touched anything over, like, 45 pounds. But I just squat much at all. And I'm getting my strength back. I'm starting to get back up there again. So it's shocking how quick it comes back. It's like that muscle memory. Like, the body knows what's up.
Yeah, once you teach your body to move, right, it remembers how to move. It's like riding a bike. And you'd be surprised at how quickly your strength will come back when you start adding in a little bit of resistance training. So get your butt back in the gym and start slow. Don't think you got to get it all back in one workout, because that's when you're going to get hurt. But you get back in the gym consistently, after about 3 weeks, you'll be right back to where you were. So it'll come back.
If you can play.
Sorry, I don't bench press 500 pounds there, Booch. Go on.
I don't bench press 500 pounds either. I squat 500 pounds, just saying, but not
yeah,
bench.
Yeah, okay, yeah, not a big deal. Thanks.
If you could play for any NHL team that isn't Winnipeg, so sorry, Trav, what team would it be?
Can I play for the Moose and get the call up?
Well, I didn't know they were in the NHL.
The Manitoba Moose in the NHL?
I'll go to the American League. I'll get the call up.
Well, then you would just get called up to any other team but Winnipeg. So
honestly, the Kings. What a place. Downtown Los Angeles, the place is buzzing. They got great food. They got great women. They got great booze. Great town. Great arena. Great team. Great tarps, too, by the way. That black and silver look. Got the whole thing going. Replacing GQ32. What a treat that would be. Playing for the Kings. Sign me up.
Hey, did you try out there?
I feel like there's a pump coming here for I got cut from the Kings.
Yeah, watch the video down below.
No, yeah, not sure if you guys subscribe to my YouTube channel, but
I can't stand that video, man. Honestly, I can't stomach it.
Booge, what would yours be? But for you, it's Toronto, obviously, because that was your team.
I don't know. I'm not mentally tough enough to play in Toronto. Are you kidding me? I'm playing in Florida. Like
that was my answer too.
Yeah, when I give up a seven spot, the 11 people in the stands aren't, you know, chasing me down the street after.
That was my answer too. But there's so many heads to the snake on this one, where you're in a small market, so that you're not getting hounded every day, you're not getting harassed walking down the street after a bad game, you don't have the massive media scrums, you live in a no state income tax state, and you also live in like Fort Lauderdale, like Miami, like unbelievable area. Like, you, what more can you want? Like, that sounds good to me. Like, the pressures aren't there, and then if you want to play in a rink where there's fans, you just any other road game.
You go on the road.
You just go on the road. It's a win-win-win situation. Like, I don't know. Maybe it sounds mentally weak because you don't like that. But, guys, I don't want to go to the grocery store and have, you know, like when you listen to Spin Chiclets, those guys make fun of him because, like, Ryan Whitney would go out and he would get harassed by his fans in Edmonton. Like, that's a reality for NHL guys. Like, I don't want to go to the grocery store and have some guy from Mississauga yell at me because I let, you know, 5-on-3 goal that cost him the game. Like, yeah, like, I don't want to get scored on, Joe. Like, trust me. Like, give me a break.
Yeah, I'm picturing Wick goes to the grocery store at the deli and says, like, yeah, can I get 400 grams of the honey ham? Yeah, sure thing. Nice pizza there, Whitney.
Like, but it's true, though, because everyone forgets that hockey players are people. And, like, especially, like, what we talked about in, like, the Viz's episode. Like, again, like, hockey players are people outside of hockey. So, no one wants to leave as soon as you leave the rink, like, guys don't think about hockey. You don't. You try to get as far away from it as possible. And if it's chasing you around the street, whether it's seekers or fans or hecklers, like, it's like your nightmare. Like, that's why guys they actually try not to play in big markets that they don't have to. Like, it's a fact.
How about the Atlanta Thrashers? They're not for the table from my plane down there. Great Southern barbecue as well.
I heard it was like
terrible colors, though.
I thought they were pretty sick.
Thrashers, get out of here. They had great colors. The baby blues all up, baby.
They didn't have one good goalie set up in the 8 or 9 years that they had over there.
Kari Lettinen's V2s or V3s with the devil tails. We talked about that in an album episode. Those were pretty
nice. The V2s are like this thing of lore. They're awful looking. They are horrible. And let's not forget to mention that they completely ripped off the Heaton design that Marty Brodeur was wearing. But that V2 graphic was brutal. And if you guys think that is like, that's like this big, famous, iconic pad, they're like, we need to give our head a shake here.
No, I don't divulge into the goaltending lore, but I do think Kari Lettinen's pads, they were the dark navy base and the yellow or gold little devil tails. I thought those were pretty nice.
Those are sick. The V2s are nice. How about Norm Miracle? Great guy. Happy Germanin. A couple other great Atlanta Thrashers staples, stay-at-home names. Andre
Pavlik, Pasi Nurminen has not been referenced more than on this 14 episode podcast in his entire life, except for Trav and Albo just dropping Pasi Nurminen names and stories. We are bringing the guy back to relevance.
Hey, Chris Mason didn't have great style, but great beard. Johan Hedberg, the Moose, good guy too.
The Moose.
I love the Eagle setup, the Eagle sentries. I had those pads too. Not a big deal. Pavlik had the couple nice Vaughn setups. His first Jet setup with the V4. Oh, baby, were those nice with the Vaughn Epic blocker. But then when he went to the vintage stuff, I'm not a Diamond Stitch kind of guy.
Oh, the Diamond Stitch is bad.
Yeah,
I can't do the Diamond Stitch.
Guys, remember they love playing.
They love the Diamond Stitch because they thought it made the pad look like a net. Like they thought it would like visually like screw the shooters up.
Like the stomp pads.
The stomp pad. Yeah, I remember those.
They have to put real lacy on the pads.
Okay. Like, yeah. All right. This could be a question. What are the worst pads? Whether it's both structure and appearance, like what are the worst pads of all time?
Whatever Tom Barrasso wore.
Oh, God.
Whatever that was. There's nothing worse than that. Except for Artur Gervais. But they might have been the same pads. They might have just shared them when they were together in Carolina.
You drove over
two pads for something. Two pads for two people.
Oh, I don't know what the worst
V5s pads. V5s were rough. V8s were not great. What else we got? Anything Reebok? Oh, Reebok pulses, those are bad.
Yeah, I think the X Pulse are up there just for the worst pad. I think the worst looking pad would have been Tim Thomas's factory mads or whatever they were when he was in Florida, and the thigh part was black to blend in with his pants.
Yeah, those were brutal.
And then the color was like, did he have a sock graphic on it too?
Yeah.
You can't have that.
Tim did some strange things.
Stanley Cup, though. You can't argue with
that. Hey, all those Reebok
Hall of Famer.
The
Larceny was bad. Ryan Miller made those famous.
But the Larceny was only for the guys that were wearing that softer, like, CCM. Was it it was the older CCM style.
They were like the pre-Eflex.
Yeah.
The Larceny. Yeah.
Yeah.
The knee roll and – like, we got to get rid of the knee roll. Like, knee roll's got to stop.
I
can't be the only one on that train.
I think they look terrible, and I don't know why anyone likes their rebounds sitting just in that area that's too far to cover – but just far enough for the other guy to toe drag it around you. Like, that's like, why would you want that? I don't know.
Oh. I don't know. Guys like getting scored on.
Guys must be getting
scored. How's training going? What did to tell everybody? I kind of know what you're doing, but you want to let everybody know what's going on with your training and are you keeping that under the hat?
Currently Winnipeg's working out at 7 a.m. I'm a trainer, Brian, Big Bad Brian. On mobility and movement, and then skate with Gus, Ski St. Vincent at noon, followed by a weighted pump after at 3. That's Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, work days, and Tuesday, Thursday weekends are my filming / Bumble days.
Oh, Bumble. Oh, let's turn this recording off so we can hear the Bumble stories.
Thanks for watching, everybody. See you later.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, see you later.